Hello and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 3rd, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Mark Rector, our new associate minister. Mark has come on staff with us this week, and so I asked him about 10 minutes ago to be my guest. He is married to Anne, and they have Josh and Evelyn Louise, and they have a baby on the way that is due July 4th. But what I hear is that the baby will be born any day, so that's very exciting. Thank you, Mark, for joining the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Our reading for this Friday, June 3rd, is from Leviticus chapter 26, starting in verse 27. And Leviticus is an often overlooked book of the Bible, but really, as we've already seen in the book of Leviticus, God is putting forth instruction, His word, for the Israelite people for the best way to live. He is giving His laws, His instructions, and that if we do live by these words that He is giving us, then we will flourish and we will be the people that God has intended for us to be. So Leviticus 26, starting in verse 27. If in spite of this, you still do not listen to me, but continue to be hostile toward me, then in my anger, I will be hostile toward you, and I myself will punish you for your sins seven times over. You will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and pile your dead bodies on the lifeless forms of your idols, and I will abhor you. I will turn your cities into ruins and lay waste your sanctuaries, and I will take no delight in the pleasing aroma of your offerings. I myself will lay waste the land, so that your enemies who live there will be appalled. I will scatter you among the nations and will draw out my sword and pursue you. Your land will be laid waste, and your cities will lie in ruins. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbath years all the time that it lies desolate, and you are in the country of your enemies. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. All the time that it lies desolate, the land will have the rest it did not have during the Sabbaths you lived in it. As for those of you who are left, I will make their hearts so fearful in the lands of their enemies that the sound of a wind-blown leaf will put them to flight. They will run as though fleeing from the sword, and they will fall, even though no one is pursuing them. They will stumble over one another as though fleeing from the sword, even though no one is pursuing them. So you will not be able to stand before your enemies. You will perish among the nations. The land of your enemies will devour you. Those of you who are left will waste away in the lands of their enemies because of their sins. Also because of their ancestors' sins, they will waste away. But if they will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors, their unfaithfulness and their hostility toward me, which made me hostile toward them, so that I sent them into the land of their enemies. Then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they pay for their sin, I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. For the land will be deserted by them and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will pay for their sins because they rejected my laws and abhorred my decrees. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them or abhor them so as to destroy them completely, breaking my covenant with them. I am the Lord their God, but for their sake I will remember the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of Egypt in the sight of the nations to be their God. I am the Lord. These are the decrees, the laws, and the regulations that the Lord established at Mount Sinai between himself and the Israelites through Moses. Our psalm for the day is Psalm 8, and it's a psalm of King David. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels, and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our last reading is from the New Testament. It's 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 through 18. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Thank you so much, Mark, for joining Mount Brook Baptist staff and also for being on the podcast. I didn't even have to coax him very much. He was very willing, so thank you for doing that. I want to hear a little bit about you. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Mark, and I have had the privilege of this now being my second day on staff here at Mount Brook Baptist, but I'm so excited to be here. I've been so encouraged just as I've begun to know folks here at the church, and just the opportunity to serve here at such a great place and a wonderful congregation. I'm just really excited to be a part of that. But for those of you that don't know me, I am from Mountain Brook. I've lived here since I was 8 years old and went to Cherokee Bend Elementary School and worked my way up through Mount Brook High School, graduated there in 2012, and then went to Furman in University in South Carolina, graduated there in 2016, and went to Beeson Divinity School and got my MDiv in 2019. The best part about me is getting to be married to my wonderful wife, Anne. And we've got two kids, Josh and Evelyn, with our third on the way, due July 4th. So we are loving life. We are ready for this third baby to come. We have a great time with the two that we have. But definitely Anne and the kids are my pride and joy. But I'm just super excited to get to serve on staff here and get to be a part of this community. So.
Well, we're grateful you are here. Tell me a little bit about Anne.
When you think about opposites attract, that is Anne and me. She is easygoing. She is laid back. She is just super spontaneous and fun. And I think I can be fun, but definitely not in the way that maybe Anne can be. But we started dating at the end of high school. Dated all the way through college and then got married not too long after we graduated from Furman. So,
and Anne works over at the junior high.
She does. Correct? She works over at the junior high, teaches ninth grade social studies. So hopefully she'll get to have maybe some of the middle schoolers, junior high folks that are coming through here in the next few years.
Give me a little bit about Josh and Evelyn's personalities as well.
Okay, so Josh is super sweet. He is very thoughtful. He's very observant. And there have been countless times where just things that I wouldn't notice or think about, even at 3.5 years old, like Josh can just kind of pick up on things. And so it's really kind of neat to just to see those moments, reflect on those moments. But he is a great big brother. Evelyn is, she is tough. She is tough as nails. She's got to be able to hang with Josh. But really, from Evelyn, I already see, even at a young age, how much she wants to be a helper. I can just see that. And especially with a third baby coming, we can already just kind of see how she wants to do her best to do what she can to take care of baby and just be the little helper that she is. So,
and your third, is it a boy or a girl?
It'll be a baby boy.
Okay.
And so we are excited to get to meet him here, hopefully in just a few weeks.
So you grew up in Mountain Brook and now you're ministering in Mountain Brook. Tell me a little bit about your experience along the way, how you felt called to this area and to ministry.
So again, having grown up here, I think this Mountain Brook is home. And I think just at different points, even within the last couple of years, I've kind of wondered, maybe would it be good to do something different? Maybe would it be good to go away? And knowing that this is home and we can always come back here, but the more that I've thought and prayed and discerned and these different things, this is where we want to be. This is a place that we love. Our families are here, and we want to be rooted and we want to be grounded here. But really, so much of my call to ministry begins with my church that I grew up at, Brookwood Baptist, which Mountain Brook helped plant way back when. But so I grew up there and was fortunate enough to intern there one summer, to come on staff part-time while I was at Beeson. And so definitely through my experience there and just the great folks who were there and the mentors that I got to have there, that really confirmed and solidified a call to ministry for me. And then also Big Time Ministries, which was the where I just came from. I was the guys minister for Big Time. That was such a formative ministry for me while I was going through junior high and high school, and to have been able to come back and serve on staff through Big Time has been a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And I know I'm not where I am today with just without Big Time and without Brookwood Baptist. So I'm really grateful for them. And it's made me realize, again, just how much I love this community, how much I want to just serve this community. And I know the very limited ways that I can, but hopefully just being able to point folks to the hope that we have in Jesus. So really excited to get that opportunity.
Okay, I want to ask you a couple of silly questions. What is your favorite type of food?
Oh, gosh. So I think pizza, like ever since I was a little kid, like if there was ever an opportunity that I could eat pizza, like I love pizza. I'm a Chicago deep dish guy.
So can you get that in Birmingham?
You can. There's a great place. Some of you probably heard of it, but it's out on 150 in Hoover, Tortuga's Pizza. By far the best Chicago pizza that you can get in Birmingham. But if you really, really want the good thing, you're just going to have to go up to Chicago, take a visit sometime, because they've got it all up there. But yeah, I love pizza. And then probably my second favorite food is a steak that my dad can grill on his Weber grill. I've eaten those steaks for years, and I don't know if I've ever actually had a better steak anywhere else than what he can throw on the grill. So pizza and steak, I'm pretty simple.
Those sound good to me. Tell me about sports. What kind of sports do you enjoy?
So I grew up playing football, and so I definitely have a soft spot for football. Alabama through and through. I did briefly play at Furman, but love football. Definitely my favorite sport. I'm a huge St. Louis Cardinals fan. I love baseball. My dad and I actually just got to go this past weekend and watch a couple games, so that was really, really fun. But so football, baseball, and then golf is probably my third favorite sport. I actually really do enjoy watching golf. I love to play. I don't play well, but I hit enough good shots like per round to say like I can come back and play again, and I can justify spending money on golf balls and stuff to keep playing. So So yeah, those are my favorite sports for sure.
Is there a funny story about your childhood that comes to mind?
One that I've told often, and there's nothing significant about it other than that it's just kind of a weird kind of like, why in the world would you do this? But just a fun, kind of a fun fact about me. I once pulled one of my teeth out with pliers. I was ready to get that tooth fairy money when I was about in first grade. And so I had like a slightly loose tooth and just went to the toolbox, got some pliers and pulled the tooth out. And
awesome.
Lo and behold, tooth fairy came that night. So
you mentioned mentors along the way. Is there a mentor that you would highlight? I mean, I know you don't want to leave anybody out, but is there somebody, can you tell me about the ways that they impacted you?
Wow. Yeah. So I've been really fortunate to have many, many good mentors through the years. One guy that has been particularly impactful for me was my friend Jonathan. When I got to Furman, he was a senior when I was a freshman. And really, when you're starting your freshman year in college, you're at a pretty vulnerable time. There's a lot of transition happening. You don't really exactly, you're trying to fit in. You don't exactly know where you're going or what you're doing all the time. And Jonathan was the one who really kind of set the stage, I would say, for my time at Furman. Awesome Christian guy, pointed me towards Jesus, mentored me, took time to get to know me. And really because of him, again, I can look back and just see that my time at Furman would maybe be different if it weren't for him. So really grateful for Jonathan and just the ways that he was there for me, encouraged me, and listened to me.
Do you have a favorite book of the Bible or a Bible verse that comes to mind often?
I really love the book of Daniel. I think the book of Daniel is fascinating. It's one that I'm just kind of naturally drawn to. I'm also a sucker for the Gospel of John. I think John's just a beautiful portrait of Jesus and his signs and how he truly is the Son of God. My favorite verse is probably Galatians 2:20, which says, "For you've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives through me." So I love that verse. That's been a verse that has really spoken to me just at various points throughout many years now. So
thank you for sharing, and thank you for on the fly being my guest. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
And we look forward to, in the coming weeks, Mark is going to read the passages of Scripture for an entire week. In fact, next week, we're going to switch over to different members of the pastoral staff leading in Project 119, and then I will start reading again sometime mid-July, but I'm going to take a little bit of a break in the meantime. So thank you, Mark, for being the guest today, and thank you for reading in one of the weeks to come. As we close the podcast, would you end our time together with prayer?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we're grateful for the ways that you were there for us, perhaps even when we don't realize it. Father, we know that you meet us in our time of need. Lord, you also call us to give you praise and to celebrate, Lord, when it feels like things in our lives are just going well and that there is much to celebrate and be joyful about. So, Father, help us to remember you in all of our circumstances. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is true, Lord, that it is sufficient, and Lord, that we have every reason to trust your word, and Lord, that to know that we can live by it. So, Father, I pray that we would go and we would live lives worthy of our calling, just as you have told us. Lord, we give your Son, Jesus, all the praise and honor and glory. Thank you again, and we ask all of this in your name.